In my experience, writing for a subscription platform is very different from writing a novel or a short story or something that you're going to put out in a store. It's the same in that you want it to be engaging and exciting and everything else. But it's a lot harder because each part has to be engaging and exciting in a way that you don't really have to focus on if you're doing a book. And as I'm transitioning my work over to writing for a subscription model, I thought we would talk about it today on Project Shadow.
I have something to say.
Hello, my name is Charlie, and I'm a non-binary sci-fi fantasy writer. One of the things that I find most striking about working for a subscription platform is the pressure. It's a different kind of pressure than the one that I felt when I was working on novels. You really only have one shot with a novel. It's either good and gets an audience right away, or maybe develops one over time in a long tail, or it's an absolute flop and completely disappears into the ether, never to be spoken of again. And that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. That's a lot of work that goes in to polish and perfect and make sure everything is exactly the way you want it and need it to be so that it can hit the goals that you've set for the project. Subscription writing is a little bit different. It can change, it can alter, it can grow over time. And that's kind of a blessing. So what is a subscription model? Well, the way a lot of people, including myself, are implementing it, for a small fee, you can get early access to the drafts of the story. In my case, it's $5 a month over on Ream. You give me $5, you can see my draft in process as I am writing it. Now, why would you do that? Well, maybe you're really into the writing of this particular person, or you want to just support them. Maybe you really want to know what happens next in the story and you want to get in there early on. As a writer, one of the things that makes this really exciting is this gives you access to a bunch of very committed beta readers, technically alpha readers, that are going to be in there early, able to comment on what you're doing, possibly changing the course of what you're working on and moving it towards better. And for those really committed readers, as you update the drafts, as you do more to develop the story, you get more feedback. Each version along the way that grows and develops behind this paywall helps to make the story better, more interesting, and hopefully something that will attract even more readers. If nothing else, it gives you something more engaging that you can put out and an experience of working with your audience to make that story better. So there are two rounds, at least, of behind the paywall for the reader. The initial drafts go up, as I said, as they're being written, but also the drafts that occur during the rewrite and the editing process. This gives people a chance to go back and see how the changes were done, comment more, or maybe jump in for the first time as they were waiting for the edits to happen before they started reading in the first place. The thing that people are buying is a combination of early access and access to the writer. Eventually, my fiction will go out to a broader audience because, well, the goal is to write something good enough that people will continuously join into the process and help support the worlds that I'm making and the work that I'm doing. But in that exclusive period, only your most committed readers have access to the story that you're working on. This has driven me to do a lot more outlining than I am comfortable with. For anybody who's familiar with anything that I've done or said about writing in the past, I'm very much a pantser. I like to just write. I'm a discovery writer, a gardener, however you want to refer to it. I like to just create characters and a problem and a scenario and a setting and set it all into motion and see what happens. I'm not really giving up on that. but I do have an outline. I do know how the story will begin, change, and end. I know the twists and turns that the characters are going to go through, and I have a fairly good idea of the steps along the way. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to keep myself from wandering a little bit. Because sometimes, in the heat of writing, in the moment where you're there in the characters' heads, a better idea occurs. And so granting yourself that freedom is important, at least to me. Sometimes those diversions get cut. Sometimes they don't go anywhere at all, and, well, they were a mistake to follow. So you backtrack and start from a good, solid foundation and move forward again. What's different this time is that people will be able to follow me on that journey. They'll be able to come along and see all the twists and turns that the story has taken and tell me what they think about it, whether they like it, whether it's getting better or worse. And that's terrifying. Most of the times I've written in my life, I've never had that relationship. I have composed a thing, finished it, gone through all of the editing, and then put it out. It hasn't really been since, Fate's Harrow that I had anything like this. But even then, the stories were completed and had gone through many rounds of editing with a professional editor before they saw the light of day. And then with feedback, maybe something would be augmented or changed, or my focus would be diverted a little bit more from one place to another. I've never really given people access to my drafts like this. I've thought about it. I've played around with various platforms as ways of doing it, but the idea of people seeing that raw text as it comes out of my brain, that's a little daunting. Would say a little terrifying almost, because this is the closest I will ever get to sharing the workings of my mind. You see, I have a Remarkable 2 tablet, and I write my stories on it, which means they're handwritten. A wonderful thing about the tablet is it then transcribes those handwritten notes into type, so I don't have to type them up. Those are the stories that are going to be going up here at first. Those are the stories. I find myself just getting a little lightheaded even thinking about it. The idea that I'm going to be sharing these early, early drafts. I don't know what scares me the most. That I'm going to be sharing my work in this early and unrefined state, or that fear that no one will care. I think most of us writers have that concern that it doesn't really matter what I do because nobody will really care. But it's especially a struggle with this. What if no one cares? What if I'm putting in all this extra work for nothing? Well, just to help you if you're struggling with that particular concern, is that really a lot of extra work? The nice thing about how all of this comes together is Ream is a very straightforward platform that lets me just post my stories, add them to a queue. I don't even have to really think about scheduling them. I can just add them to the queue and they'll come out on schedule. That's helpful. That's nice. It's very much built for the writer. But why is there still fear? Why is there still so much concern deep down inside? Maybe we want validation. Maybe we see our life's work reflected in the stories that we're telling. And all we want more than anything is for respect or an audience. I know for me, the concern in doing this is born out of some of the experiences I've had from doing things on the internet, particularly over on YouTube, and really is difficult to see Ream as anything but what it bills itself as, the YouTube for fiction. I'm not going to go into all the issues that I've had with YouTube. I've done that quite a bit. But to get people into my fiction and to give them the ability to comment and tell me what they think, it's a little frightening. Not so much that I doubt my ability as a writer or that I think that the stories that I'm telling aren't good. It's more getting that immediate feedback. After all, as writers, isn't that what we're afraid of most? It's the thing that we say that we want, but in the end, we're kind of lying. It's not hard to say that I just want an audience. I just want people to read my fiction. I just want an audience. I just want readers. Da 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 da. But when it comes time to doing the work to actually get them, when it comes down to that actual hard work and struggle to build that audience up, what holds us back is that fear of what those readers will say. Part of me blames the U.S. educational system for this. That may or may not be fair, but that's where I'm going to put the blame. After all, most of us have only had an experience of writing through school. And when we turned something in, we turned it in to be graded. And in our hyper-capitalistic world that we live in, what harsher grade could there be than whether or not somebody is willing to give you money or not? We don't even have to worry about getting a B or a C or a D. This is pass-fail. Either people do or they don't. And that's terrifying. We feel graded, judged by the economic model that we're working under, and that paralyzes a lot of us. And that's why a subscription model probably isn't for everyone, because you face that fear every chapter, not just every book. If that's something that you find daunting, maybe stick to a more traditional way of publication. But I don't think that those traditional means of publication are sustainable. Not in the long run. I have plans to collect and to put them out as books, put them out in collections, and put them out for more traditional readers to find. But I believe that readers are looking for something more akin to AO3 or wherever they are getting their fanfiction these days. Readers are used to fiction they can binge, which accounts for a lot of the frustration with George R.R. Martin. They are not willing to wait through the long spans between the Song of Ice and Fire books. They want it now.
In the long run, I think people are looking for something that resembles AO3 far more than what they're getting from Amazon. A place where stories come out regularly, that they can access them, comment on them, discuss them with the writer, maybe even nudge them in the direction that they want to go. As people are struggling more and more with their short attention spans, the amount of time that they're willing to wait between stories is going down. This is the struggle that we're facing between traditional readers and the new digital readers that have grown up on the internet. If we're going to continue to grow, develop as writers, we're going to have to find that middle ground where we can reach out to the new readers that are used to more immediate gratification, that are more forgiving of mistakes and errors and are looking to be a part of something, not just a consumer of something. And that for me is what setting up a subscription platform really offers. It lets me create something that people can be a part of and not just consume. And hopefully, if you're interested, you'll find that too. If you're interested in following me on this journey, I'm going to be talking about it a lot more on my podcast, The Non-Binary Writer, and you can look for me over there. I hope you found this interesting. We're going to start going into media analysis in the upcoming episodes. I have a couple things I want to talk about, and of course, there's Star Trek and Star Wars. Thank you for joining me on this journey, and until next time, don't forget to have the fun. Bye.